Today is Trinity Sunday, and we know that last Sunday was Pentecost Sunday. It is the dilemma of most pastors. How are you going to do that, you know, to talk about Pentecost Sunday and Trinity Sunday on a brief span of time? The idea of a God who relates in three distinct persons is present at the moment, especially during Pentecost. Pentecost, we believe and we know, is the birthday of the church. So imagine for a time you are invited in a big birthday celebration. And of course, in a big birthday celebration, or maybe it's even a small celebration, there's a centerpiece. And what is the centerpiece? The centerpiece, of course, is a birthday cake. Imagine that in that birthday cake there are candles. Now, the number of candles is really irrelevant, isn't it? But the candles are glowing in the midst of that celebration. And then you heard the cue, let us sing the birthday song. I don't know about you, I've heard so many birthday songs. And some are okay, some are not so okay. Some are really embarrassing, you know, really out of tune. But most of the time, it's a beautiful rendition of a beautiful song. Imagine the cue is set and you know you're going to sing a birthday song in English. And then, of course, because we speak in many different tongues, imagine also that right after singing the birthday song in English, they start to sing in another language. And it's a joyous occasion. And everybody is applauding, and everybody is clapping. You know, in many instances, for example, we clap for the number of years. So if you are 93 years old, like Rosemary, that's a lot of clapping, right? And sometimes they shortcut it to 10, 20, 30, 40, but it doesn't matter. There's applause. There's a time of thanksgiving. Imagine this is what happened, so to speak, in that room that was filled with the spirit of Pentecost. Except, according to our scriptures in the book of Acts, there were many people from the different parts of the ancient world, and they were all speaking in different tongues. But yet, they were able to understand one another. Imagine singing that song, and you're looking at your friend to your left and to your right, you cannot understand the words, but you can actually understand and resonate with the kind of melody. So this is about Pentecost. This is what happened in that room on Pentecost Sunday, which is the birthday of the church. I know that in Palestinian communities, in the Arab world, there is a high premium placed on hospitality. So in other words, you don't have to call, you don't have to make an appointment in advance. All you have to do in that era, even to this day, is to show up, and no one will ever deny you the gift of hospitality, whether it's a banquet table or whether it's a simple cup of cold water to entertain you as a welcome guest in that families. Homes are always ready to receive an unannounced guest and with a variety of sweets. So the interaction with family and neighbors are so common. And this is really what was the basis of the stories of Jesus. And when I look at the scriptures, I find it really interesting when the comment says, well, it was only 9 o'clock in the morning. And how come they act like drunk? And they said, it is really not possible to be filled with wine at this time. So there must be something else going on in this room, in this community of the faithful believers. But here is my thinking. It is true that the Pentecostal experience leads into our understanding of a God who is in three forms: God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And so when we sing holy, 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 and when it is repeated three times, the nature of holy, that means really there is something going on. Because you cannot repeat a word for the second time or a third time if it is not really that significant. And so for the people of God, it is so significant because they reveal about the commitment of God who first loved all of us. And so God took this utmost risk to invest in the kingdom of God with our bodies present for all of creation. Can you imagine how creation would be without God's beloved? Creation is going to be a very lonely place. Who is going to enjoy the sight of beautiful flowers? Who is going to enjoy the smell of beautiful fragrances? I know from all of these colorful flowers that we have, if there is no human being that God lovingly created. Who is going to appreciate the smell of fresh bread and offer that bread if we are not brothers and sisters? Who will enjoy the hand of friendship, you know, the hand of hospitality if God really did not give us this ability to connect with one another? And so the scripture says that he will send an advocate coming from above, and he will testify on my behalf. So the whole idea of Trinity Sunday and also Pentecost Sunday is the idea of leave-taking. And so Jesus said, I will leave you, but I will also give you an advocate so that you are not on your own. The advocate, the Holy Spirit, will guide you in everything. And so this is something powerful for the people of God. And the word that Jesus says is testify. It is use. It can mean a lot of things. Testimonials, sharing, remembering, storytelling, and so forth in our time. But isn't it true that when we use the word testify, it connotes another meaning? It means that you have to stand up for the truth. It means that you have to tell it the way you believe, you know. And it also means that you may lose some of the friends that you have because you may have to speak the truth, you know, of what you have experienced. And the other person on the other side may not actually like what you have to say. And so when we talked about testify or testimonial, we often think in negative terms as a way of confronting one another. But that is not the way it is with Jesus Christ. When the word testify is used, it is used as a way of telling stories. It tells about the resilience of faith. And the resilience of faith is passed down from one generation to another, from one culture to another. And sometimes it is in oral tradition, and that's what happened in the scripture. Sometimes it is passed down in written form, in journals, in diaries, in letters, in announcements, or in other forms that we are comfortable with. We had the opportunity to visit the Anne Frank's house a couple of weeks ago or last week ago, and it was an awesome place. And when we visited the place, we went through the hidden entrance that led to the secret attic. I was humbled because I cannot imagine how this family were able to hide for how many years, tiptoeing their way in that small attic and being silent all throughout the day because any movement or any sound may expose them to those who will persecute them as part of the Nazi persecution in Netherlands during that time. And so when we go through this one room, it's a small room, it's about 10 by 10 room, there are no windows, and I'm sure it was dark during that time, and how that room was illuminated. Well, they were hiding is given up to our own imagination. But it is in that room that Anne Frank was able to write her own diaries, her own impression of life. And in my own understanding, it is about her impression about the resilience of faith in God in her own life. And so I was so humbled. And on our way out, I saw another opening, and I looked up. Well, there's another attic, and there's a rooftop. And of course, we're not able to go there, but there's a small staircase leading up to it. It was the place, perhaps early in the morning, or perhaps later in the evening, where the families were gathered to breathe in the fresh air and to give thanks to God for the resilience of faith that they have received. So when I think about testifying, it is to pass on the legacy of strength and faith. It is to pass on the legacy of love that God has given us, especially during the season of Pentecost. So when we sing the Spirit of the Living God, we invoke the gift of the Spirit to fall afresh on all of us, just like the disciples. In the Bible, one of the epistles of Paul in 2 Timothy, it says that God's solid foundation stands firm. That God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription, "The Lord knows who belong to His kingdom." You know, as a pastor, I have signed and returned many special or official documents. I think I still have a seal that I use from time to time. I kind of like the seal. You know, sometimes there's a gold seal, or sometimes it's just an embossed seal. You know, there's a big difference between a rubber stamp and a seal, right? A rubber stamp is when you go through an airport and they stamp arrived or departed. Or when you go to an amusement park, sometimes I cannot, I think they've got a special equipment. They stamp your hand and they use an ultraviolet thing, and they can determine whether you have passed through the system or not. So a seal is not a rubber stamp. A seal is something else. Because in the Bible, in the history of the ancient world, sometimes they use wax, paper, or other impressions. It means that it is official, and it means that it is done with a lot of tenderness and with a lot of care. So when the scripture says you are sealed, that means you have a very special relationship with God. And for many of you who love Stevie Wonder, in the 1970s, "Signed, Sealed, and Delivered." How many of you know that song? You know, it's a danceable. Oh my goodness. A lot of you, especially Z, you know, you can dance to that song, "Signed, Sealed, and Delivered." Because this is what Pentecost is all about. Christ making an impression on all who are gathered from the four corners of the world to fill them with the Spirit of the Living God. And it is a life-giving Spirit. And it cannot be contained in one moment. But rather, it has to be experienced in multiple moments in different time frames. Because the Spirit of the Living God is intended to purify living nothing in its wake, and therefore you start from the very beginning. So this is the challenge of the scripture for me on Pentecost and Trinity Sunday. I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. I love the ministry that we have. I love the people that I encounter on a daily basis. But I long for more or different expressions of faithfulness. I want to carry with me the so-called tools that I have, the gleanings that I have learned through the years, to pass on or to offer Christ. And many times, whether our church is small or the church that you belong to is big, we receive a great compliments about our beautiful church, the beautiful structure, the many ways in which we operate as a community of faith. When you go into some other places, especially in Europe, you see beautiful Gothic churches that have withstood the stand, the time, through difficult periods of persecution, war, famine. And then you realize that some of these majestic cathedrals, buildings are empty. Well, you have to pay admission in order to admire the beautiful architecture in many of these different places. But the fire of the Spirit is also intended to purify, to give us an opportunity to experience something else. I realize that to be filled with the Spirit, and knowing that I cannot fully grasp what it means, is to be fully aware that fire never stands still. It is always moving. One of the scripture passage that I really love is when Jesus resurrected from the dead. In that passage, all of the disciples were scattered and some went back to their own homes to do the things that they truly love. You know what happened in that Sea of Galilee the day after the resurrection? Peter and the rest of the disciples went out fishing. And all of a sudden, Jesus appeared. And then what did Jesus do? Well, he started a fire. There was charcoal. He was stoking the flame. And so when the disciples got back from their fishing journey, the fire was already set. There was already something cooking for the disciples. When I think about that, I realize about the fire of the Pentecost. Yesterday, we were in a campfire. You know, I love campfires. And they prepared all of the campfire and they lit it. And it was a big fire. You know, I love fires, but it's not your small campfire. I decided I really wanted a big bonfire, so I put on one log after another. So I think I put on about five logs. Man, it was hot. And I was sitting there, and I had to step back another 30 feet because, you know, my hair can be singed right there. So when we think about the fire of the Holy Spirit, we're not thinking about your barbecue fire or small fire, but we're thinking about a bonfire, the bonfire that reminds us of the grace of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. And finally, before it was a Christian celebration, Pentecost was also called Shavuot or a harvest festival. And the harvest festival in the Jewish tradition is very important because it was the time when the people gathered the wheat and the barley together and they bake bread. And when they bake bread, they come to the temple and they offer this bread offering as a thanksgiving to God. So I imagine all of these men and women in that small room or large room on the Feast of Shavuot having in their possession the bread that they're about to offer. And all of a sudden, Jesus came, the Holy Spirit came. And then the fire, like tongues of fire, descended on their shoulder. Perhaps they remember what Jesus said, holding the bread, that I am indeed the bread of life. And Jesus said, when the Spirit comes, you are also to testify because you have been with me from the very beginning. The Spirit of the living God is a place of refuge where we find shelter. The Spirit of the living God is also a place where we are being prepared for the future. Jesus calls this abiding presence or residency. And the spirit of Pentecost is a place of release. It is a faith always branching out. Always confident that in our release, we are fully equipped and we are ready to be sent out. To be sent out to be a part of God's redemption, to seek peace, graciousness, and mercy in a broken world. And that's the spirit of Pentecost, the spirit of a life filled with God's grace. Thanks be to God. Amen.